take notes. That made me feel even a little more nervous. So I do feel quite blessed to be here today and talk in front of all my brothers. And, you know, the Lord, it's been so fast, even just in the last year, it's been hard to keep up. But I was kind of thinking, you know, I've never really done a group testimony. I've always kind of, you know, sat down with buddies and whatnot. So I was like, Lord, I don't know how much to say, where to start. And it's just, you know what, it's about glorifying Him and, you know, just all praises go to Him. But I figured where I'd kind of lead into my testimony is my dad, he was raised Catholic. My mom was raised Protestant. So I would say about when I was 10 years old is when I received the Lord into my life. I asked Him into my heart. I was baptized at Assembly of God Church. And so that's kind of where I started, you know, with the Lord. But of course, that was where the enemy was quick on my heels after that, I would say. I grew up in a little mill town, so there wasn't a lot to do. And me and the buddies, you know, we'd ride bikes all the time and stuff like that. And I'd hang out with older kids. So once my friends started getting to high school, I was in eighth grade and they were already in high school. So they started drinking because they were hanging out with older people and they're, you know, playing football and all that stuff. So, of course, as a kid, you know, I looked up to them as, oh, you know, they're, you know, doing all kinds of new stuff and all that. And that's where, you know, drinking started entering my life was in eighth grade is when I started drinking. Not all the time, you know, but it was enough to start getting me ready for, you know, many years of struggle. I mean, out of my whole testimony, I would say that drinking alcohol has been the biggest, you know, grab all my life. So once I got in high school, you know, I did football, you know, I was doing the whole, like, going to parties, stuff like that. I don't know where I'm kind of going with this, but, you know, I was one of those kids that, like, you know, I went to assembly. My dad wouldn't go to church because he was Catholic and he just worked all the time. Work was his God. You know, he worked 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. So by the time Sunday came, you know, he'd rather golf any day over going to church or, you know, doing something else. But, what was I going to say?
So you went to church with your mom?
So I would go to church with my mom sometimes, and she never forced me. So that was kind of the thing, is like I'd go, I really enjoyed it, but then the days I didn't want to, she wasn't like, okay, Tim, you have to go. So, and then eventually she stopped going there and going to other churches. So I was kind of like really sporadic, and I guess where I was kind of going is, was in high school, I always had, you know, in the back of my mind about the Lord. Like, I remember, you know, sometimes me and my buddies would be, you know, talking, you know, anytime you're doing that kind of stuff, the subject of, you know, drinking, alcohol, and politics always seemed to kind of mix at some point, and not for the best at all. But me and my buddies, you know, we'd be, you know, a fellow brother in the Lord now. Like, we'd say, well, we don't want to read the Bible because the more I read the Bible, the more I'd be accountable for. So I just wanted to act like, oh, I don't know, you know, I have a feeling it's bad, but I don't know how bad and how much it displeases the Lord. I don't know, I'm trying to logically work this out. So pretty much in the high school, that's kind of what I did. I would call on the Lord when it'd get hard, and, you know, by His mercy, He'd help. But I wasn't broken. I wasn't, you know, when I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I wasn't giving everything up. I wasn't surrendering all. I was still held in the sin. And I didn't realize how deep it was until more recent, but at one point, I would say about when I turned 21 is when I hit my, you know, my lowest of my years. By that point, I was getting overran with greed also on top of drinking. I was gambling heavily. I was doing things that I shouldn't have been doing because, you know, I had a new truck. I was going to college. I was trying to do whatever I could to keep it. And I knew I was not doing right in the Lord's eyes. And it was grieving me to the point where I was driving myself. I was trying to medicate myself with any kinds of means of drugs, drinking, you know, not really like hardcore drugs. I'm not talking like, you know, meth or heroin or any of that crazy stuff, cocaine, anything. But I was, you know, I was so grieved in what I was doing that I was just pushing myself further from the Lord, and I wanted to keep, you know, doing whatever I could to get up in the world. You know, I didn't have a belief that, you know, the Lord could give me everything. You know, I was living in the fleshly sense, the worldly sense. I was doing what others were doing. And I remember there was this point where my heart was getting so hard for the Lord. And I was like, as I was laying there in my bed one night, and I said, Lord, my heart is getting as hard as the Pharaoh's heart. I was completely not relying on him. I wasn't caring any. I was getting to a point where I didn't care if it upset him or not. And, you know, granted, growing up, since I was sick, you know, asked the Lord in my heart and stuff, I would call on him. I'd kind of, you know, go back. I would kind of reset a little bit and keep my bearings a little bit. Even though I wasn't completely surrendered, he would always be there to kind of help me, you know, when I called out and kind of help me get back on the right track. But at this point in my life, I was so far away from him. And I just remember praying that night. I said, Lord, please make my heart of flesh for you, Lord Jesus, because my heart's becoming hard as a stone. And I said, do whatever you have to do in my life, Lord, to get rid of my truck, to get out of what I'm doing, because I was living with my best friend and we weren't doing the right things. And I was just, like I said, I was so grieved. I was medicating myself with alcohol so heavily just so I could sleep, because my conscience was so bad. I knew I was not doing good in the sight of the Lord. And after that prayer, about a week later, I wrecked my truck. You know, I totaled it. I was just driving way too fast on a back road. I should have rolled off a cliff. I mean, it was almost a 90-degree corner, and my two tires, you could see them go off, but I ended up rolling on the other side of the bank. So, you know, I believe that, you know, the Lord kept me. You know, I thought that was my time to go. You know, and I was at that point of I didn't care, you know, in my life. That's why I wrecked. I was driving so fast. I was like, you know, if this is the time, this is the time. Even after I did that prayer. And then, you know, so I totaled my truck. And I'm like, you know, all right, I'm pretty devastated. And I'm in college. I totaled my truck. I'm at the end of my spring semester. I didn't quite set in yet, so I was working a seasonal job, doing hydrology work. I loved it. I did it for years, and they do a drug test every summer. You know, it's like, okay, we got to re-enroll you and stuff like that. Well, a month before, I went down to my buddy was going to university in Southern California, had a really big party. I was drinking really heavily, and someone came around with cookies. You know, and I didn't even think about it. You know, I was heavily intoxicated, had one. You know, a week later, I get back home, go to do my drug test, and they say, oh, sorry, Mr. Henry, you failed your drug test. You had a trace of THC in your system. You know, and I was devastated because I was like, how could I wasn't smoking or anything. I was like, how could that happen to me? And then I recalled that, you know, I remember vaguely, because I was drinking that heavily, that someone came up and offered me that, you know, and it never clicked at the time. And So I was truly at this point of just pure. Once I lost the truck, and then I lost my, my favorite job that I loved doing. It was so fun going out and doing stuff out in the field, going all over the country, in Humboldt County and surveying streams. But that happened. Well, then a month later, my mom said, I bought you a plane ticket to go out to your brother's in Nebraska. You need to do something different. So I said, okay, Mom, I'll do this. And my brother was in the National Guard for 10 years, real straight arrow guy, doesn't drink, doesn't do anything. And I get out there, and that's, the first time that the Lord, that's where my life really started rechanging it. And my prayer, it took me this long to start seeing my prayer to the Lord about my heart change, because, this was about a month or two afterwards. All these events happened in between, totaling a truck, failing a drug test, and then going to Nebraska. And when I got there, I was, when I left in Nebraska, I was drinking about a fifth of hard alcohol a night, at least. And that's not counting beer, whatever. So I was quite bad in that sense. And I get there, and I had a little 2-year-old niece. And the first few days, I'm still kind of living my old lifestyle. I'm still like, I'd walk to, my brother was really upset. He's like, come on, Tim, you don't need to be doing that. And I wasn't getting it, And then about the fourth night, I came home, and, I loved my little niece. It was my first time really getting to hang out with her. She was already 2, and, she really looked up to me already and always wanted to play. And then I came home one night from the bar. She said, "What, Mommy, why is Uncle Tim acting so funny?" And at that point, that's when, I completely broke down, because she, as a 2-year-old, can see how different I would become once I started drinking. And, I broke down. I really did. And I stayed 2 months there, and after that day, I didn't drink. I stopped for the whole 2 months. I let it go. I was starting to read the Word again. And, and really thanking the Lord for saving me. I didn't realize how bad I was getting. So I come back home, and, I feel like I'm a different person. I'm about 22. I feel good. I start the new semester at Humboldt State. I start hanging out with my friends that, since eighth grade were the same buddies that were still doing the same stuff, as I was doing before. And I started getting right back into it, because the enemy said, okay, Tim, you could do a couple drinks, it's all right, And that wasn't the case. So I didn't fall back as far as I did before. I went to Nebraska because the Lord really did show me in my life. But I would do the occasional, I'd be pretty good for a couple weeks, and then I'd fall back. I'd have a night, and I'd go out with my buddies and all that. So this kind of kept up for a while. And then I was working at Les Schwab, and this guy named Steven, he got a job there. The manager hired him on a limb. He just quit at Schwab in Sacramento. Wasn't even a spot open in our store. So he comes to Les Schwab, and he loves the Lord. He's a great brother in Christ, and he started pressing into me. He said, "Tim, why aren't you in church?" And I was kind of like, well, I don't need to. I feel like I get people look down on me because of my lifestyle. I was not living a good lifestyle. And I figured people would judge me thinking, oh, how is he, raising his hands to the Lord? Because when I came from Assembly God, I kind of felt that, people were condescending others that didn't have a cookie cutter lifestyle, even though, as we know from many testimonies and from the Bible, that's the greatest testimony of all, that it doesn't have to be, It could just be what you're thinking, you know. It could be, you don't know if someone has a huge porno problem and they could be a pastor, you know. So, in other words, I highly, by this age, I was starting to feel like, you know, I don't want to go to church because people look down on me, you know, and this and that. And he's like, no, you just need to get to church, man. So I started going to Calvary Christian Church back home. And it'll be 2 years, and it was 2 years now, actually, to be a matter of fact, when I started going there. No, maybe 2.5. But either way, neither here nor there on time, that's when I started having even more breakthrough. I started understanding why, you know, because I used to not really, like, worship the Lord that, you know, used to listen to worship music. I was like, you know, I didn't feel like it was manly, you know. I was like, I was totally into secular music, and it doesn't matter what it was. It could have been heavy metal to country, you know. That was my kind of music. And, once I started understanding what the songs were really about and what we were doing, my life started breaking. I had an iPod with 5,000 secular songs and maybe two songs, two Jason Morant songs on there that was about the Lord. And I was, you know, when I was in my depths, I would listen to them sometimes, but, you know, most of the time I was listening to secular. And when I started going to church, I gave Stephen my iPod, and I said, you know what, just put Christian music on here. I don't want nothing else. So he loaded up a few hundred songs, and to this day I still have 300 whatever songs on my iPod, and they're just Christian songs. There's not one secular song on there, I don't think. Maybe one. I don't want to be lying. I started noticing my life changing. Even, you know, the Lord started taking me in a different state because I started fellowshipping. I started being around people that weren't, you know, wanting to go out and party, or, you know, they wanted to talk about the Lord, and it started really making me hungry. I started realizing, okay, church is, my perception on church started changing. You know, the Lord broke me of my own conscience about it, you know, my wrong thinking. And realizing how important it is to have the body, you know, it's Christ is the head, and we're, you know, this is his body, his church, that's when I started getting that concept of, you know, how important it is to go to church and the fellowship and to be accountable to others and to have that support, you know, through the Father, of, you know, great men and children and women. So I was still, even though that being said, you know, not to sound like a hypocrite, but I would still every now and then have a bump, you know. I still couldn't let go of I had such a heart for my friends, and I have a hard time saying no. And they weren't walking with the Lord. And we know from Scripture how it is. If others aren't walking with them, and you're walking with them, you're going to start stumbling. So I was starting to stumble a little bit, and it was really, I was just getting really more and more devastated, because it's like, Lord, I want to praise you, but then I turn around the next day, and I'm, you know, not. I'm being disobedient, you know. So, and I just had a hard time letting up on my friends. And as I graduated school, the Lord really, I just said, Lord, you know what, whatever you need to do in my life, please do it. I don't know. I got a degree in mathematics. I don't know what I want to do in my life. I just have my hands open, Lord. Just take me wherever you want. And one day I ended up meeting up with the head recruiter from Humboldt State Resource Department. And, you know, she said, you know, we ended up getting, because I was wearing my Les Schwab stuff. And then, you know, it kind of got into the concept of, oh, yeah, I went to Humboldt State. And then she brought up that she was doing that. And she's like, well, what are you doing? I mean, I was like, oh, I'm just working here, you know, until I figure out what I'm going to do or whatever happens. And she said, well, let me get you with this lady that's the head of the job you know, department at school, you know. So I get a hold of her, and she said, you know what, just go through every state job, every county one, and start seeing if anything looks appealing to you. So that's what I did. And lo and behold, there was this job and for Lassen County as appraiser, and it said, you know, background in mathematics, business and all that. And I said, all right, Lord, you know, I have some of that stuff, so why not send an application? You know, and then a week later, I get a phone call saying, hey, you want a interview? And I said, yep. Week after that, went in, had my interview, felt really good. Never even heard of Susanville. Grew up in California my whole life. Never even knew this place existed. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's like, all right, you know, never been to Susanville. Didn't know. I live on the other end of 36. I didn't realize, you know, Fortuna all the way to here on 1 or 36 would connect you. So interview went great. A few days later, I get a phone call saying, hey, you got the job if you want it. You know, and I told my boss at Les Schwab, which was most understanding, you know, he was worked there for 2.5 years, and they worked around my schedule, and they were all for me. And I was really blessed to get that job. That was something that the Lord, you know, when I cried out one night before I got that job of, Lord, I don't have a job. I don't have any money. I don't know what to do. I'm despairing. And the next day, I got a phone call from Les Schwab. So, and that's where, you know, he brought Stephen in, you know, and the Lord, through that job, a lot happened, you know, without knowing. And, you know, I had my assistant manager, you know, was a man after God's own heart, too. You know, he loved the Lord. The first day I worked there, he asked me, hey, do you know Jesus? You know, so it was the environment that I was meant to be raised in, you know, absolutely. And so in other words, I take the job. And, you know, I just put my 2-week notice in, told my friends, you know what, see you guys later, I'm moving. Didn't even have a going away party, nothing, you know, just packed up my stuff, moved over here. And that truly, you know, that's a year ago is when I moved here, a year and a month ago. And that's when the biggest things in my life started occurring. The first month I lived here, you know, I was getting to know the area. I wasn't doing a whole lot. But, you know, about 1 year ago now is when I started going to church here. And even at that, I was, the last church I went at, they more emphasized on worship, less on the word. They hit, you know, some word verses, bounce around, stuff like that. And before I was going here, I said, Lord, I'm so hungry for your word, Lord. I'm looking for it. I want more of it. And I prayed. I said, Lord, guide me to it. Because, you know, when I looked at the directory and I seen like 20, 40 churches in Susanville, which I was like, man, the population's 10,000, even though it says 20 prison. And I just prayed. And I was actually going to go the some gospel tabernacle or something like that. And like 15 minutes before I was going to leave there, I hopped online again and I seen Calvary Chapel. And I was thinking, oh, well, I went to Calvary Calvary Christian back home. Maybe they're kind of like. So I went on the website, read about it. And I was like, man, this church sounds something like I'm looking for. Exactly. You know, excellent job on the website, by the way. You know, it definitely, you know, helped someone that was, I was in quick browse mode too. It wasn't even like I spent 15 minutes on there or anything at first. So I said, okay, I'll go here. You know, within 15 minutes, I changed my decision, came here and haven't left since, you know, I've been here since the day I came. And I tell you what, the first day I sat here and it's like, you know, Pastor Mike was hitting the word and he was hitting it hard. You know, I wasn't used to, you know, chapter by chapter, verse by verse studying. I was just like sitting here. I was like, oh man, this is heavy. You know, I was used to like, you know, I was used to revival and, you know, the same kind of John verses and Matthew verses and never really anything in the Old Testament too much and, you know, all that. And then this was just right there. So at first I was like, oh man, I don't know. This is, not used to this. And then by the second service, you know, second time coming here, I couldn't get enough. And that, you know, truly is why the word's so important. You know, I know we've all given testimonies and all of that, but, you know, the word is what's going to always be here, you know, and forever, you know. And I forgot probably, you know, when I sit down, I'll probably sit there and think, oh, you know, this and that, or, you know, or I completely forgot some of this stuff. And, you know, I don't want a tangent here. Okay. So in other words, I was starting a tangent. You know, I came here, and after about 2 weeks, I remember on a Wednesday night, March 14th, 2012, me and Pastor Mike sat down after a Wednesday night. I think it was that Wednesday night, March 14th. But anyways, he said, have you ever thought about just not drinking? And I was like, I always thought that I can limit myself, but I never thought like, oh, I'm just going to stop. You know, I never thought like, oh, okay, I'm just going to stop drinking. And, you know, at this point, I wasn't like doing a lot. I was just having a couple here and there and all that, but I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to stop. I'm going to just lay it down right here. No more. And, you know, to this day, I still haven't had a drop. And after I did that, you know, I definitely had warfare. I didn't realize that first 2 weeks were tough. You know, if I had a stressful day at work, I came home and, like, having a couple drinks. You know, it took the edge off. Well, what that did was it took the Lord out. You know, when I quit doing that and I started having to rely on the Lord, I'm like, man, I'm negative. I'm festering in whatever I was at work. And I started relying on the Lord a lot, and I started getting more breakthrough on, you know, you don't need alcohol. You need me. I need more of you. And since I've done that, you know, my life's changed. And meeting Jess, you know, and marrying into just an amazing family and getting an amazing church family and amazing pastor. It's, you know, after the Lord's heart too. And that was another breakthrough, is just meeting Jess. Is, I'd look at inappropriate pictures and stuff sometimes, and I didn't, you know, I feel conviction about it, but I used excuses of, oh, I'm not going out and doing it. But, you know, when the Lord kind of, you know, he addresses on, you know, the whole adultery, is that, hey, it's not actually just lying with that woman. It's looking at her and thinking about it. And, you know, when I met Jess, it changed. You know, I felt like, oh, if I look at, you know, these other things that are inappropriate, you know, I'm hurting her, even though she doesn't know. So the day pretty much we started hanging out was the day I left that behind. And, it has been, I mean, I haven't. And the Lord, when I moved here, I literally thought I was moving in a desert. You know, I was like, man, it's arid. I'm going to die single. There's nothing out here. You know, like, I really was starting to believe all that stuff. And then, you know, it's just the Lord, I've stepped into more of a fruitful time of my life than ever. And I've had things break off that I didn't realize that was strongholds in my life. And it's been amazing. And it's been thankful to all of you guys. And of course, the Lord above all, you know, he's imparted him, you know, he's left us the Spirit. And so that's where I'm at currently, is, you know, just in the last year, I'm a whole different man than when I was when I moved here. And I thought when I moved here, I was a different man, just like Pastor Mike was saying, that someone you know that's given their testimony 2 years ago can come up again and be different just in that time period. And that's what's so hard for me getting up here. It's like, you know, there's these blocks in my life where there's a lot that's happened, and it's taken me a lot to get here, you know. And the Lord's, you know, definitely let me, you know, fall and hit my face, but he never left me down. You know, His grace was so much in my life to not let me stay in a forever state from Him. You know, if I didn't pray that prayer, I believe in the heart of my heart that my heart was getting hard as stone. You know, I don't think I'd be here today, you know, if the Lord didn't radically change my life. And I guess, you know, that's about it is, you know, praise the Lord that, you know, we're all here today. And it's, you know, many different walks and that's, hopefully I didn't talk too much and I glorified the Lord and not myself.
Amen.
Gracious Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for Tim's testimony, because it's really a testimony of your grace. It's a testimony of your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord. And I can't help but think about in Philippians 1:6, where it says that you're faithful to complete that good work that you've begun in each of us until the day of Christ Jesus. And I thank you for my brother. And Lord, I pray that many would be encouraged by his testimony and that you'd be glorified. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good job, man.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thanks, guys.
Well, you know, you hear that, and I'm sure many of you younger guys will be thinking about that, and the older guys kind of going, yep. You know, it's really kind of cool, and I think it's a perfect time. Come on up, John, and the worship team. You know, you hear a testimony like that, it makes you want to praise God, doesn't it? So let's praise God.